Well, every day is the Lord's Day, but this one's the one we gather to, as a memorial to Him. You know, our world celebrates this weekend to remember those who served and have done great things. We call it Memorial Day weekend. Obviously, we as Christians gather every first day of the week to remember the memorial of our great Savior. Just a little bit of background for me on Memorial Day and some of those types of things. My dad retired from the Navy after 21 years and was a police officer for 10, and then, you know, did some other things. But my stepdad was retired from the Navy for 20 years, and my older brother was in the Navy for 4 years, and I had signed and was going down to Detroit to get my head shaved and become a Marine. And my brother pleaded with me, and he says, wait. And within a couple weeks, he got me a job on oil rigs, and I went to be a roughneck on oil rigs instead of a Marine. So I was real close. And I've had people ask me before, are you in the military or anything? I said, no, but I kind of was associated with folks for many years. But this time reminds me of them. And then when we reminded of things, folks, that's kind of where my title of my lesson came from, is things to remember. Not necessarily as the world remembers, but we as children of the Most High God should remember. And what are our examples, and what does God's holy word tell us we should remember? In our passage, as you can say, then the disciples remembered that it was written. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Folks, things were to remember what Jesus said. This, you know what, as I was thinking about the lesson this morning, I don't know. Probably most of you don't remember because I preach this lesson on Sunday night and I'm not a repeater too much, but I think I'm going to pull this one back up because I did a study and I did nothing but write down every word Jesus said, nothing else. And if you remember that, if anybody does, if you don't find it, I'll preach it again. But I read every word that Jesus said. Now, I didn't duplicate things for if it's the same thing from one gospel to the other. But within one evening, one lesson, you can read everything Jesus said, just a red letter edition. Remembering his words, how he treated people, how he interacted with people, how he represented our Father in heaven. How we too should remember ourselves and how we act as we follow him. But also remembering what is written. You know what? I can remember what Tom told me. I can't. I don't know what you said the last time you told me something, Tom. You know? DC, what's the last time I told you something of importance? Yeah, DC says, never. You never told me nothing. But you know what? We remember things that Jesus said. We remember things the apostles said. We remember things that make a difference in our life and that we believe in, that we have faith in, that we want to follow, because they are the truth. God's holy book, his word of love to us, okay? I got to stress that. It's a book of love. Jesus came down here to seek and save that which was lost, not to condemn the world, but to save it. And the same thing with us. When we became Christians and we become more knowledgeable and when we become more wise, we should consider ourselves those type of servants. A servant that seeks to save those which are lost, not those that are pronouncing judgment upon those folks that have fallen. In Matthew 26, it is written, now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. And when he had gone out into the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." And then he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. Folks, this is Peter. "No matter what, I'll stay with you, Lord. No matter what you go through. Don't talk about having to die, Jesus." Pulls out his sword. "I'll defend your kingdom in a physical manner, Jesus." Jesus, put it back away. That's not what I'm here for. Curses and swears and denies, folks. This passage, maybe you're perfect in lips. Maybe you control your tongue, folks. And if you have that ability and you don't struggle with that, praise the Lord. Okay? Something you don't have to worry about. Satan will tempt you with something else. Okay? But if you do, you can relate to Peter. You can relate to denying him at times in our lives. We deny him with what we give and what we don't give monetarily. We deny him with our time, how much time we spend reading his holy word, remembering his words, reaching out to others, telling them, "I love you, I miss you, I wish you were here, I care about your soul." And when we go on about our lives, because we've been blessed beyond measure, amen? And we go on about our lives, and it's, our lives are more important than kingdom of heaven, do we remember Jesus? Because he didn't have a stone to lay his head on. Well, he had the whole world, okay? But he didn't have a house, nowhere to lay his head. And he did that to prove a point that the kingdom of heaven is more important than the kingdoms that are on the earth. To remember what God created us for is glorifying him, not ourselves. Peter remembered the words of Jesus, and it made him weep. Folks, when I read this passage, there's times in my life I've denied Jesus, and it's made me sorrowful. Repent. Repent. I didn't use the passage, but there's a passage in Revelation that says, "Remember the words and the commitment you made and repent and turn back to God." It's in Revelation chapter 3. Mark chapter 8, it is written, "And he left them and getting into the boat departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, 'Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees,'" or "leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "Is this because we have no bread?" But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes and you do not see, having ears and you do not hear, and do you not remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "Also, when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said, 7. So he said to them, "How is it that you do not understand?" What a great example for us, folks. Okay? I guarantee you, there's two ways people down at the Indianapolis 500 today. You see my tie, right? It's race day. There's two things they're doing. They either went down there with a basket of stuff or a bag of stuff because they don't like what they serve or they want to save some money. But they took plenty of food. Or they took plenty of money to buy food at all the places. Okay? In our lives today, you know, we always plan things around eating, right? Some of us a couple times a day, some of us 3-4 times a day. Disciples are the same way.
Oh man, we forgot the bread. We forgot enough bread. And Jesus says, remember what I can do, who I am. Remember that bread is not important as you think it is. I'll help you get something to eat. But remember about the leaven of the Pharisees. Remember not to add to or take away from God's word. Remember to forgive those who sin against you. Remember to show grace and mercy and help a stranger, a Samaritan along the way. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't have to want to answer to God about a hard heart. And most of following Jesus is a heart issue. Either I don't follow myself or not. And I struggle with times doing things my way, seeing things my way. Okay? And I pray each and every day to soften and open my heart for God to work in me, to be a servant of the Most High God. I pray that you guys continue and consider that in your lives. Remember to pray to God and to deal with your heart. Because I can't. I'll give you an example. Brother Tom, you got some heart issues, but I don't know what they are. Brother Phil, you got some heart issues. I don't know what they are. Satan's tempting me. I got some heart issues. You don't know what they are. But Jesus does. And he wants us to be honest with him and bring them to him. Because this holy word, we need to remember his words will guide us with our heart issues. He hasn't left us null and void. He hasn't left us without hope. He hasn't left us without the truth. He hasn't left us without a way of having resolve and peace and understanding. Only he can do that. I got to trust in him. We have to trust in him. President can't do it. Military can't do it. Government can't do it. Mom and dad can't do it. Only Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, the Kingdom of Heaven, can help us with those things. But we have to remember them and implement them and obediently follow those things in our life. We need to understand the things that Jesus has said. Luke chapter 17, even so it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on a housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down and take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed. One will be taken, the other be left. Two women will be grinding together. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, and the other will be left. Folks, what did Lot's wife do? I'm asking for just somebody to say, what did she do? She just looked back. One simple thing. Jesus said, don't do that. Satan wants us to do that. Satan wants us to look back at that mistake I made in 1983, December 1st, at 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, I don't remember something then. I just pulled that date off the top of my head. But you know what? That's what Satan wants us to do. Satan wants us to bring it back to time that we were hurt and angry, or we were despaired and despair. Satan wants us to relive that stuff and rehash it and not give it up. Jesus freed us from all that. But we got to implement him in our lives to do that. We got to remember Lot's wife, not to look back. I'm not saying we shouldn't look at lessons learned. And there's a reason for things. But to dwell on them, to hinder us from having peace and joy and hope and love. Jesus knew the history of all mankind. He didn't let it rob him of being kind and loving and serving the Most High God, neither should we. Luke 23, it is written, the soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And an inscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. When's the last time in your prayers you asked Jesus to remember you? When you were in trouble. When you were in despair. When you got news that you were going to have some struggles in your life, emotionally or physically. Did you drop to your knees and ask Jesus for help and understanding and wisdom, or did you pick up the phone? Or did you Google something? Where's your first response in your life? Is it Jesus? Or is it Face Place, as my brother calls it, Facebook? Where do you go for your resolve in your life? Twitter, whatever. Do you go to Jesus for your resolve? Do you go to God's holy word for your resolve? I plead with you to do that, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends. Because that's the only place you're going to find true resolve. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he is. I guarantee. I stake my life on it. Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Obviously, he died under the Old Testament. Okay? Let's remind ourselves of times and how things happen, the way people want to pervert God's word sometimes. But pray that God remembers you. Okay? Remember the humbleness of this gentleman's heart. When he was in despair, he reached out and asked Jesus for help. Yeah, Jesus probably is going to help you even if you don't ask. But how much more will? I'll just give you an example. If Lucas doesn't ask for my help, okay, how will I know whether he wants my help or to help him? Now, I know God's all omnipresent and knows what's going on, and Jesus is part of the Godhead. But folks, it's part of our relationship with him. If Lucas said, yeah, I just expect you to put some money in my bank, Dad, my bank account, Dad. I just expect you to do that for me, Dad. I just expect you to do that for me. Folks, do we do the same thing with our Heavenly Father? I just expect you to forgive me. I just expect you to help me. Everything's going to work out just fine. I just expect you to make sure my boss treats me nice and my co-workers are following Jesus. Yes, we all want our co-workers and our boss to follow Jesus, but guess what? They're not going to follow Jesus until they see us following Jesus. Remember him when we are in despair. Quick bullet points, folks, that I'm not going to elaborate on just because it says it all in the scripture. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Acts 20, verse 35. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Romans 11, 18, it is written. Do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Second Timothy 2, 8 through 10. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Folks, I ask us this morning, do you remember Jesus? We remember that he was raised from the dead and his blood has such a great power to cleanse us from our sins. His word is not chained. It's not old and fuddy-duddy. It doesn't need to be revised, rewritten, added to or taken away from. We need to have faith and believe that it is complete. And I don't know about you, but I endure some things I do not want to endure, but I must, because I remember Jesus and how he endured. And because of the salvation of my soul and our souls, folks, remember the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus should be foremost and forefront in our lives, no matter what's happening to us. Luke 24, last passage this morning, I believe, if I remember right. Now on the first day of the week, early in the morning, they and certain other women with him came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the mother of Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, but they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Folks, I ask us this morning, do you remember how Jesus and God's holy word has spoke to you, brought you to him, brought you to an understanding of salvation? Do you remember his words that he has never failed us? You know what? Sometimes we are like Peter. Peter says, I don't get it. I don't believe it. I'm not going to believe you. I got to see for myself. Jesus says, come find me. I'm right here. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Plead with you this morning, title of our lesson, things to remember, that you remember the things we've studied this morning, and they help your life this following week. If you have a need to become a Christian, remember what Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. To remember, if you have an issue, come to him. He's always ready and willing. Or as we say to you, we love you, we care about you, if there's anything we can do, in prayer or deed, we pray that you make that right with God as we sing the invitation song this morning.
All through Jesus, I